We really had talked about how we could do a session. And if you're here and you know that you're part of this session, if you would just come on up and find a spot so you kind of know who you are. We have several folks that are participating. And this is going to be unique because what we're going to try to do is we're going to have a conversation amongst us and we're going to let y'all listen in. Is that okay? And so that's just how we felt like we could get the most out of this time. We wanted to build on the session that Pastor Jeff did and finished on legacy. And how many have enjoyed seeing all the kids around the campus? How many of you have kids that have been blessed by the fact that there's childcare? You know, when you do conferences like this, and this is now 18 years or the 18th that we've done, we learned a number of years ago that if you wanted to have young leaders, you had to do something for the kids. That was really our initial motivation. But I have to tell you that after we did it a time or two, it dawned on me that you're beginning something important by building a relationship with kids. I tweeted this week, some of you may have seen the tweet, I tweeted that we have over 60 kids registered for the Destiny Kids Crusade. I see them as future interns, church planters, staff leaders, and I'm a very patient man, you know, very patient man. And so we're seeing some amazing things come out of that. Already we're seeing some young people kind of progress to youth and then beginning now to have callings to ministry, moving into DLI and into various internships. And so so we feel like that legacy is part of our calling. And I want you to understand what I think about when I think about calling. I'm thinking about responsibility. You see, authority in the kingdom is not power. In my book, it's responsibility. And so when we have authority in the kingdom, that authority should express itself with responsible behavior and responsible actions. Part of that responsibility is not just ministering to the now, but ministering to the next. And so I'd like to just start with a little thing about that some of you heard me talk about before, and it'll just get the conversation going. Because what you have here essentially are senior pastors and now senior pastors who were associate pastors, and so, but mostly fathers and sons. My son's here, Drew, who's pastoring Lomita, and Jeff, and let's see, is somebody missing? Well, that's probably one for me, but okay, anyway, so. Oh, Pastor Nelson. Okay, so what made David the great leader that day? How many believe that David was a great leader? We all think about the greatness of David and all that he did. One of the things I think that made David great wasn't that he was a perfect man, because how many of you believe and agree with me today that David was far from perfect? And we think, well, he was a great military leader, and he was a courageous leader, but he wasn't the most brilliant general that there ever was. What made David so great? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, he was a man that was after God's own heart, and we say that a lot. But the thing about that statement is it doesn't mean David loved God more than other people loved God. That's not what that statement means. As a matter of fact, if you look in the context of that statement when it was used, it actually means in contrast to Saul, who loved God but would not do things God's way, in a pinch, in a crunch, he would default to his own systems, his own ideas, and what he thought was politically expedient. In that statement, when it's used in the Scripture, God tells Samuel why he's rejecting Saul and about to choose someone else. He says, I will have a man who for myself who is after my own heart. All that meant is that David would simply do what God said the way God said do it. And in the process, it was so important that God said, I will establish a forever kingdom with that kind of man. In other words, that kind of man who will do it my way instead of what's politically expedient or what's politically popular or whatever. That kind of man that will hear my word and obey to my word and do that without question is the kind of man that I will establish a legacy and a kingdom and a throne. And literally, it's pretty heady stuff when the Son of God is called the Son of David. Can I get an amen? I mean, you can still walk down the streets of Jerusalem and look at the manhole covers on the sewers, and they've got the coat of arms of the line of the tribe of Judah that was the coat of arms of David. So how powerful is a legacy that now 3,000 plus years ago, the city still bears the insignia of the coat of arms of the man? And there wasn't anything special about David other than, I mean, not to diminish him, but other than he was a man who would do things God's way. So as part of an organizational plan, we believe that it's critically important that we try to find God's will and do it. That's the key to success, is to find God's will and do it. And we believe that it's God's will to work through generations. We believe that it's not just you that should get saved, but you and your house and your children's children. Can I get an amen? Amen. But if that's part of the plan, then you have to include them. You have to create opportunities. You have to open the door. The next thing that made David great, I believe, is that David understood that in this interesting thing of legacy, there is always now and there's next. And all the DLI students probably heard me talk about it, and they're familiar with the concept of now and next. And so I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I think David was great. David understood the delicate balance that must exist between those that are now and those that are next. David understood, if you reference the idea of Saul trying to kill him and David running for his life, and then David having opportunities on at least two occasions to take Saul out and choosing not to because he considered Saul, even in his rebellion, God's anointed. So even when Saul wasn't doing it right, David had such reverence for the position that Saul carried, considering that to be a holy position ordained by God, that he would not raise his hand to strike Saul, even though Saul didn't do it right. He trusted God to handle Saul. And in specific in that moment in the cave where, you know, David is in the cave with some of his men and Saul comes in to use the bathroom, right? It's not a pretty picture. And in that moment of vulnerability, one of his mighty men says, "Take him out. This is your chance. Get him. I mean, the man's trying to kill you. Draw the dagger. Finish this. Let's get you on the throne where you belong." And David said, "I will not touch God's anointed." David understood that there is a delicate balance. And the way that next treats now, while now is now, will determine how next is treated when next becomes now and somebody else is next. So in this room, there are probably those that you're now. But guess what? Somebody else is next. And maybe you're in the room and you're next. But guess what? There'll be a moment that you will be now. But guess what else? Somebody else will be next. If we can learn this delicate dance of how we should relate between now and next, then we can forge a pathway of legacy that allows strength in organizations to grow and cultures to be created and multiplied and expanded with any group. It'll work in your church, it'll work in your life, and it certainly works in ministry. So, with that said, what I'd like to do is just kind of get this thrown out. This is Pastor Tom and Pastor Ryan Lowe. Let's give them a hand. They're from West Monroe Christ Church. All right. And sitting next to them is Pastor Nelson Hyatt and Pastor Jared Hyatt. They're from Church of the Crossroads in Corinth, Mississippi. And then this is Drew Brassfield. He's our son. I should say my son, but he's our son. He pastors a great church in Lomita, Texas, and they're new but doing a great job. And then there's Spencer and Jeff. Well, your name Jeff, right? Jeff Phillips, and they pastor Legacy. And Spencer's part of the team there. And so we're going to just talk about legacy. We're going to talk about now. So I've kind of laid the theological foundation. Let's talk about the practical side of how does this all work out. And what I'd like to do is, Pastor Nelson, I'm going to start with you, okay? So let's talk about this process because Jared was actually, I mean, he's so many things and so gifted, and I had to brag on him just a minute because he and Landon interned with Kath and I at the same time. And so I can't even tell you how much joy it was for me to have two young men as we traveled the highways. We talked so much theology. I mean, it was like people who don't like theology would have been bored because we talked a lot about it. But they both went on after they finished their internship with us to graduate school. And Jared earned a master's degree in counseling. Did I say that right? It's a master's degree in counseling. Landon went on to ORU and double mastered there. And so I'm proud of these young men and what they are. But I also know that for a long time, there was a process, and still to this day, of grooming. So why don't you just take a second and tell us about that?
All right. First of all, my succession plan includes my entire family because not only am I proud of this young man here, I've got a the soul winning capital man right over there in Aaron. He's my main man, and then Barbie's. So Pam and I are very much involved in taking our entire family to the level after mom and dad are not in the pulpit. So that's very important to us. And then we'll start working on the grandchildren. But the thing that I have tried to do is to keep the target off of my son's back. Not over-promoting, but also recognizing what God was wanting to do. And so what I did, there's three things. Number one, we put together, and I'm saying we, I used the eyes, I used three sets of eyes. The one that God was looking into my heart and telling me what needed to be done. And then the eyes of my spiritual peers, Dr. Phil, Tom, different ones that I would call on, refer to, and then the eyes of our congregation, our board. And I wanted to get an objective, not just my perspective, but I wanted to see what they were feeling on this. And it came forth that they all were agreeing with what I was feeling in my heart. And that was the fact that God had his hand upon my anointing. Let me tell you something. I always fear, my children, they do work in the ministry. And I would be afraid to put them forward. But I know this, when God called me, and it was definitely a calling, Jeff, just like you were talking, it was a calling. But when he called me, he didn't just call Nelson, he called my seed. He called every bit of me, that which would propagate down the road. And if these kids would qualify themselves, why should they be disqualified just because they have the same last name that I've got, you know? So succession plan was to be monitored by three sets of eyes. And if that passed, then I put together what I called a long-term plan, which we're involved in right now, but I also had an emergency plan. An emergency plan in case something did happen. I did kick off, and what would be done, and who would be coming. I'm not even having a funeral. I've already told Pam I don't want this passing by. Oh, don't he look good? I've never seen one look good yet, you know. But Dr. Phil's a part of that. He'll be coming on the fourth week when they do install. And I mean, I have that short-term plan in place. I hope it's not for a long time, but you never know. And then the it could be short, it'd be quicker than you think, brother. And then the long term, and that is if we're able to fulfill the years and hand off and the percentages of him preaching, me preaching, vice versa. So that's where we're at right now.
Absolutely, and it's working wonderfully. But Jared, I'd love to get your perspective, because really that's what these kinds of transitions are about, is perspective. Now, the one thing I want you to take, and there's many, several things wonderful he said, but I want you to hear him say it's okay for you to promote your children when they're gifted and called. Don't feel like, well, what are the people going to say? Is it all right for me to have my son or my daughter? You'd be surprised how many times I hear that from pastors. Is it okay? What are the people going to think? Just one quick little side story. I didn't hear it, but I actually heard Bishop Clark say one time about John Osteen that in a session, somebody asked him, said, Brother Osteen, this was Dad before Joel. He said, why is it that so many people on staff here have the last name Osteen? And John said, well, I'll tell you, I've learned that in most cases there's one family that runs the church. I just decided at Lakewood it would be the Osteen family. Now, that, of course, took time for that to develop. But it's okay for you to promote your children. It's okay. You should not ignore them just because of what you're concerned about with the public's opinion. So, Jared, give us your perspective kind of on what Pastor Nelson just described.
Oh, man. First of all, I was just, to be here is one of the most, is the best thing. And to be, we get to serve you and to honor you and Miss Kathy and just our heartbeats and just to let us be a part of the table and get to talk. And I I think that one of the things with walking this with Dad and our community was other people that are in my place, other pastors' kids. So being around Landon and Drew, and now seeing Spencer, you're a little bit younger back then, but Lyle, your brother, and Ryan and Marcus, and some of us walking through this together, and it only can happen, these relationships, through destiny, and to be able to do this together. And so it's just, my heart is just so full for that. And then just to be, Pastor Jeff was talking about a legacy. Our community, to echo Kevin, is a rural area. But our church just last weekend celebrated 91 years of existence in our community. And to think through our founding pastor, Brother A.D. Gurley, and some of the ones in the transition, and Cecil Bennett, and then my dad pastoring there for almost 33 years. Takes a big breath to think about that. And just with the plan of allowing us to be able, his plan, he loves to plan. And so seeing him not put the target on my back, one of the greatest things for you that are in here is to let your children see the great things of your church. They don't need to hear in your homes all the negative stories about the people. Let them see how Jesus is changing lives in your church. Let them hear about his Spirit moving in so many great ways. Let them be a part at such a young age, because the plan didn't start just 5 years ago. For the last 32 years of my life, whatever form and fashion, we've been working through this plan. And I've been so blessed for that. And, you know, in our church, I've never have heard until now on staff one negative thing that was talked about a member. I can honestly say that in our church until I came on staff. Which then it was like sometimes you're like, you see the good and then a little bit of the bad. And then sometimes you see a little bit of the ugly, you know, and some of the things that transpire. But I was guarded about on our house, that our house was a house of loving people. It wasn't about preaching. It was about loving people. And now being a part of this plan, like Pastor Tommy, I talked with him this week and asked him these questions, and he was just saying, honor, honor, honor. And the greatest thing I can do in getting the privilege of serving with my mom and dad is to allow this part of their life to finish strong, to be in that place where they can finish strong, that everything that they've seen that God has spoken to their hearts, I can be a part of being a part of that team to let that happen. And not rush what we've been called to do in our area. I don't have a separate vision. We have God's vision for our community. And so that's the deal. I want to finish strong. I don't have to be seen. I am seen when I honor him and I help him finish strong. And so that's the greatest thing. It's not much. It's God's church. And so seeing this plan take place and me getting to serve alongside of him, and us be, and the second thing, real quick, is just communication. Is that we communicate behind closed doors when something needs to happen, but we're always communicating and we're checking each other's feelings and checking each other's thoughts, and just that honor and that communication and just helping him finish strong is the best thing. It's the best place, and learn from you in that,
You know, honor. I think anyone that's been in ministry for any length of time knows the power and the importance of honor. But I will tell you that there's a key to understanding honor, because sometimes we expect people to understand honor before they have a good grasp of duty. If you do not understand duty, you'll never value honor. And a lot of times we expect people that we have asked so little of to understand the value of honor. And I always tell these young leaders all the time, be careful that you don't surround yourself with people that demand so little of you, because you'll never fully grasp honor. The military is strong in this. It's one of the reasons that people will go into a machine gun, face into a machine gun fire and charge in, because they feel like it's their duty. We honor them for their sacrifice and what they do, but it was because they did their duty that they then could understand the power of honor. Amen. Amen. That's amen. That's good. That's good. Pastor Tom, you and Pastor Ryan, why don't you talk about your situation there at Christ Church just a little bit?
Yes, it is a blessing to serve with your children, and my blessing is that I've been able to serve with my dad. Dad turned 90 years old on the 25th of May, and I loved what one of Jeff's quotes, that my ceiling must be the floor for the next generation. And so Dad did the hard work of planning the church, and he kind of did it like Kevin talked about, no church planning organization, no support, just he and Mom both were both bivocational, and the church never got really much over 100 people. And my dad, who served there as lead pastor for 20 years, and the church will turn 50 in 2019. And he's just there every Sunday, and my mom, as many Sundays as she can make, they were both there this past Sunday, and just loving what has happened. And so we've always, when Ryan and Morgan came along, and especially when Ryan felt the call to ministry, we've always spoken about the tri-generational blessing that Abraham passed to Isaac, who passed to Jacob. And so I just know that, and we've communicated that to our leadership. Our church knows that Ryan, and he's already in that place of succession and following and leading and preaching and casting vision, all the things that a leader does, he does. And it's just a privilege to know that we have that synergy working between us, and to know the future is secure. And we believe that beyond that, I'll tell just a little quick story about the future Ryan's son, our granddaughter Willa Ray, who is 4, and Guy Clark, that's their two kids. They're 12 months apart. They're both their birthdays in August, and so they were talking about a clown going to the circus or something, and Willa Ray is scared of clowns, so she's telling her Lindsay's mother, Susu, "I'm afraid of clowns, Susu. I'm afraid of clowns. Are clowns bad? No, baby, clowns. I'm afraid of clowns." She's getting all teared up, and Guy Clark, who's got this big, bold voice, he didn't even mix words. He just reached over, lay hands, and said, "In the name of Jesus, no clowns for Willa tonight." So we know it's not just a tri-generational blessing. It'll pass on. We got a little preacher on our hands and Ryan's son, Guy Clark. But it's a privilege to work with my son. And, you know, as I've aged, I'm thankful for somebody who has more vision than I've got. And I've got a lot of vision, but this guy's got more vision than I've got. And he's a nuts and bolts kind of guy, and does so much to push the kingdom of God forward at Christ Church. And really, over the past, I don't know how long has he been on staff, Ryan? Almost 12 years. Came on, did student ministry for 5 years, and then wound up in media ministry, directs everything in the worship service, and preaches. Preached last weekend, did a phenomenal job. But it's as I've progressed, as our relationship has progressed, really, I see more and more of Ryan's fingerprints on everything that happens at Christ Church. We have those conversations, and he's got vision, and a lot of times it's his vision. I run with it, and people think it's my vision. So thank you, son. I give you public credit right here, right now. But I'm really thankful for what God's put together. And I do know that as we move forward, I'm 58, Ryan's 38, 37. I'm trying to make him older than he is. But, you know, I still got a couple of 3, 4, 5 years to go. But we're meshing our preaching schedule. And over the past 5 or 6 years, he'll be doing most of the preaching. And I'll be serving him as best as I can wherever he needs me. So I know that God's got something good for our future. So I'm really thankful. He's got a wonderful wife, Lindsay, who is a great helpmate, and his right arm. And so we're really thankful.
Ryan, give us your perspective on that.
I just hope that my dad cries like Pastor Nelson did when I talk.
If you say some sweet stuff, I might.
I'm expecting some tears right now. No, it really is. It's fun, but it's also very Stressful working with your dad, you know, working with family. If you've ever been in a business with your family or in ministry with your family, then you know that it's stressful. But I believe that from the before I even got into ministry, God was already like setting things in motion and putting me in a position to where I could serve my dad. At a young age, I was working for my best friend. And so he was my boss, but also my friend. And so I had to learn this dynamic of when we were on the job, he was my boss. But when we were hanging out, he was my friend. And so I learned those to differentiate between those two. And so when I came on staff, it was a little bit easier of a transition for me to understand that he was my boss when we were at work. And with being a boss, as you know, if you're a son, then there's some honor that has to come with that. Just to piggyback on what you guys said, in Romans 12, it talks about, you know, take delight in honoring each other. And in that chapter 12, it talks about us, you know, living sacrifices. That's our act of worship. And don't be transformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But right in the middle of all that, he drops this bomb of honor. And I think for many times, for my generation, we don't really give honor to our leaders that we're standing on their shoulders. Because if it wasn't for him, then I wouldn't ever be in the position that I am right now. And so, for me, I just always have to constantly remind myself, no matter what situation we're in, to honor my dad. If we're in a staff meeting, I don't dishonor my dad. I'm still learning. But when we're, like you said, behind closed doors, We can be father and son. I can tell him exactly how I feel. But, you know, when we're out in front of our staff and our team, then I'm honoring him. If he says it, and even if I think it's absolutely the craziest thing I've ever heard, I'm going to back him and I'm going to support him. Yes, it does. I'm going to back him and I'm going to support him. But then when we get behind closed doors, I might tell him exactly how I feel. But ultimately, it's just, like you guys said, it's just about honoring him, because I do believe in the spiritual law of, you know, reaping what you sow. And so I want to be able to reap when I'm ultimately in that position to reap some honor myself.
Man, awesome. Great. There's such great things coming out of all these things. They're saying absolutely come.
Phil, I remember the first time that I was in West Monroe that our conversation was about Ryan. And you fixed it. Do you remember Ryan coming and meeting us at that church we went and visited? Do you remember that, son?
I don't.
I must be dreaming then. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact of it is, we were praying. We had been praying for you. And I think you were maybe in the hairstylist or something at that time. And God was, and we knew God had his hand on your life. And so it's a joy to see you sitting by dad. It really is.
It's amazing what God does in all of our lives. And the fact is, I think all of us, what Pastor Ryan just said is so true, that if it wasn't for somebody else, none of us would be doing what we're doing. I mean, if none of us did this on our own, whatever it is, great or small, none of us have done this. So we have to always be grateful for those and respectful and honor. And I love what I'm hearing, and I hope you're getting some of the nuggets that are coming out, some of the core. I'm a key word guy, key ideas, you know, and so I hope you're getting those out of it. Drew and I have had a little different dynamic, because Drew said something about interning, and we've had 14 young men over the years that have traveled with us, but Drew did not do an official internship with us. But I told him the other day, I said, what are you talking about? When you were 10 years old, somebody asked him one time, said, I mean, having a dad that's in the ministry, I mean, isn't it kind of cool? He loves to eat in great places and stuff, and you go to those wonderful restaurants. Where do y'all mostly like? Because Drew traveled with me a lot of summers, you know, he would go with me. And so they said, well, where do you like to eat with your dad on the road? And Drew was maybe 9 years old, and he said, mostly gas stations, you know. And so that's the fancy fare that we had almost those days, mostly gas stations. But so the dynamic's a little different, not pastoring a local church. And Drew had doorways open into ministry early on in life. But we always had that father-son dynamic. So, son, why don't you talk a little bit about, we're talking about legacy today. So let's kind of step away from the local church a minute and just talk about the, you know, and you can say all the wonderful things that you want to say about me. I'll give you 5 minutes to do it. Go. No, I'm just kidding.
No. First of all, I want to give honor where honor is due, and I get the privilege of being your son, and so I'm grateful for that. And I wouldn't be where I'm at today in ministry by any means without my dad. I can tell you there's been plenty of late night phone calls, and he would always tell me about 10:30 when I would slow down and call him. He would say, "Now listen, if you want to finish this, I'll be up at 5:30 and we can finish this conversation." And but my dad and mom are some of the most incredible people on the planet Earth. I know you know that, and you get to see that from a distance. But I've got to see that in private. And I would say, I could say a lot of different things, but it, one thing I figured out, I guess, through our relationship is that there's more than one way to leave a legacy. Right? And so I came to a crossroads a few years back where we talked about me coming to Destiny and being on board there. And, you know, you feel somewhat of that pressure. Well, who's going to carry the mantle? And you begin to think those things through. We kind of had some conversations. And one thing I appreciate about my dad is there's never been any pressure for me to do ministry ever. Although it's all I've ever known, from every uncle I had to my grandparents, to ministry's all I've ever known. And dad never and mom never putting pressure on me to do that. OK, so one thing I want to say just to maybe people in the room who maybe deal with that pressure, take that pressure off yourself, that there's more than one way to change the world. And you don't have to have a pulpit and you don't have to be a pastor to do that. That can happen in any career locally. It can happen anywhere. And so there was no pressure for me to do that. There was what dad always said is there's always a spot on the team for you at Destiny, but you need to follow what you feel like God's called you to do. And I just had a passion for the local church. I have a passion for people. I have a passion for being involved in their lives, watching the progression of their life, watching what happens and helping them, seeing them cross barriers, as Pastor Jeff talked about, those thresholds. I feel called to do that, to be that, and to be a part of their life and to shepherd. And so I would say I'm thankful that you didn't put pressure on me, and I'm thankful for that. You allowed Jordan and I to be who we felt like God called us to be. What I'm realizing as a young senior pastor is that God's more concerned about the person I become rather than the place that I arrive. We all have this, we all connect this place to success is the place, and success is not the place. The success is really the person. And so as a young guy, I'm figuring out and learning that God is really more worried about my character and my integrity and the person that I become. And when I become the person that he wants me to be, then I'll be ready for the place that he's called me to be. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we get to the place too early. Therefore, it's not that it wasn't God's will for us to be in that place. And I'm not referencing my situation. This is just something I feel led to share with you today if you're seeking or looking for direction. But I've realized that God, it's not that he doesn't want you to get to that place, but you can't attach success to a place. You need to attach success to the person that you become. And if you allow God to develop you into the person you become, then the place that you long to be will take care of itself. But so often people get into the place that they long to be too early, therefore it never works because they're more concerned about a place rather than the person. And I'm realizing that, and I see it in young leaders all the time, but they're so worried about getting to the place. I'll never forget when Dad and I drove up the hill to our church, he said, "So what now? You're here. You're 29. You're pastoring. This is what you've always wanted to do. What's next? What are you going to do with this?" And we begin to have these conversations, and I realize that it wasn't so much about getting to a place, but my prayer lately is, God, allow me to be the person you called me to be. And whatever happens out of that, whatever transpires, whatever goodness happens out of that is awesome, and that's great. But I have submitted my heart to Jesus in this prayer as, God, allow me to be the person that you want me to be in all the places. Seek ye first. We know the scripture, but I found it lately in my life. It's true. If I worry about being the person, then God will take care of the place. Not to get off subject, but I want to encourage you with that today, is I'm just worrying about being the person. And what I can say is Dad's always put that in front of me. Dad never tied preaching in a pulpit of thousands or in 20 people as his success. His success was when God was developing him and helping him be a part of developing other people. And so I appreciate Dad leading that, where I never attached what success. To me, what success was to be like my dad is a man of integrity and character, and who is worried, number one, about his personal relationship with Jesus Christ above all else. So that's my heart on you and me.
Well, and I think for our conversation today, the important takeaway there, and it was wonderfully said, is that legacy is not about a position, it's about a person. We don't build positions as legacy, we build people who live in duty, honor, and responsibility. And in the process of doing that, it becomes contagious generationally. You add that to the generational blessing of the Holy Spirit that God brings, and worlds change. But a world can change.
And can I mention one more thing? Sorry, is one thing else that you taught me, and someone great said one time that honor is the currency of elevation. And you have illustrated that and demonstrated that so often in our lives is honor. I'll never forget one of my first opportunities to do a funeral in our church. And so often when you're the young man, you're used to doing the obituary, and then the senior man is used to doing the message. You know what I'm talking about. And I'll never forget there was a man who had pastored for 45 years who I was sharing the pulpit with, and he was doing the obituary, and I was doing the main message. And there was something in me that just, I couldn't do it because it was the family that wanted it this way, but there was something in me that felt like I should be here and you should be there. And what I realized, it was just honor. I know you guys feel this way, but there's something about a man or woman of God who has literally committed their life to Jesus Christ for a lengthy amount of time. There's something that rises up in you, at least in my heart, that's like stand at attention. Because I understand the difficulty of ministry and the challenges that you face. And so one thing I just want to add to that is honor is so important. And I just appreciate that you taught me around just in circumstances and situations to honor. I remember you used to say little boys are meant to be seen and not heard. That doesn't work with my kids so well. But anyway, that was a good one they used to say. But I just want to reiterate what Pastor Ryan said, honor. I couldn't leave without saying that, but honor. You never go wrong. Young guys in the room, honor is the key. I'm telling you, honor. Honor them, and what you sow, one day you'll eventually reap.
Good stuff, Drew. Moving to Owensboro, and honestly, our speaker about legacy today, Pastor Jeff, give us a little perspective, and then I'd like to hear Spencer's take on it, just on the whole concept and what you want to add to the conversation on legacy.
I feel like I've already spilled my guts. But you know, for me, as far as legacy is concerned with family and how we do family, is that, and what Drew said at the end, I feel like oftentimes that I deal with as an individual. And I don't know if it was because of my upbringing or how I was taught to do ministry, whatever, but this word called honor keeps coming up. But oftentimes whenever I'm asked to speak among my peers, and this is a confession, and I think that it resonates a lot, about legacy as well, is I almost feel, I first thought it was a spirit of fear that would come up on me. But I've come to realize it's a great gift of honor, because I realize that there are so many more people in the room that are so even greater gifted and probably have paid a greater price through family, through legacy. And I have to fight through that sometimes. But I think God's teaching me is that, you know, this thing with honor and legacy is that our children have to see it. A man once told me, he said, if you as an individual are, I'm trying to think how exactly he said it. He said, if you don't give your best, your children certainly won't, and then your grandchildren won't even know what you lived for. And so I feel like my position in this is that I've got to be so sold out that generationally that it doesn't let up. And there's one thing that I've realized about this millennial group. All my boys are all millennials. Lyle being the oldest, Spencer being the youngest. And if they don't see me being so transparent, they can't hear anything I say. That's this whole group of people that I'm now pastoring. I'm the oldest guy in the room on Sunday morning.
oftentimes, seriously. And I have to, it's almost like you're so transparent with these guys that they can see the innermost workings of who you are. And that's what begins to build this passion in them that's going to bring this legacy. Passion is such a key in us that if we don't have that, they'll not even have the concept of what passion is.
Yeah.
One thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost years ago in this little Pentecostal church I was talking about earlier was that I learned passion before I learned anything.
Yeah.
It was full of passion.
That's right.
And I feel like sometimes with this group that I'm now pastoring, oftentimes trying to teach them legacy, is I've somehow got to resonate a passion that is so contagious that without me being the fool in the room, if I can use that terminology, that they'll know they have not a clue of the passion of God that lives in relationship with us. And so there's something about handing this baton off that is more, I love planning. But I realize that it's more than just that as well. I'm not implying anything. I'm just saying I realize that it's so much further than that. And these guys are more qualified than I to talk on this. But it is really about living your life in Christ so out loud, so to speak, that they gotta get it. If they don't, they're just flat out ignoring me.
Amen. 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 Great perspective. Spencer, give us your insight on...
Wow. It's different for me to have a mic, guys, so I apologize if I... I think legacy for me, and coming from... I'm 25, and coming from my age, and from what I've allowed myself, me and the youngest brother out of three older boys, I've been able to see, you know, through their eyes... and through the things that they have done and the things and mistakes that they have made or the things that they have accomplished. And I've been able to see that and not be afraid to stand beside them, but not also not be like covered by their shadow, because it's not about like them being covered by like you being covered by their shadow. It's about you standing on their shoulders. And so if you have children in the ministry, or if you are younger, like I am in ministry, that, you know, these guys that are here, that are surrounding you and that are leading you, is that it's not, you're not there to like have to like suck up to them or be around them or like have to like, you know, but just by honoring them by who you are and by what God is calling you to do. Drew kind of already said it in a way that God is more interested in your character than your comfort.
Yeah.
And so, be uncomfortable, guys. Like, allow God to be uncomfortable, and legacy within it will grow naturally. And if you consistently stay low and lay down, you will grow. And by the way, whenever God calls you, you're going to sprout, and everything that you learned as a child or as growing in the ministry from my, you know, your father or your brothers or whatever the case may be, every single bit of those seeds that you thought were maybe not there or you've forgotten about sprouts. And they're there. And just keep stepping forward.
You know, there's one thing that I will say in having these four boys. Tom's got boys and Nelson as well. But, yeah. Is that I have to, you know, it's oftentimes you really have to watch, because if we don't watch, we've got these younger three dealing with Lyle's shadow. Lyle has, honest to God, he has more connections than I do. God has given such favor to these boys that I'm telling you, the Word of God is true, because he's blessing my kids greater than I can ever be blessed. And I watch that, and I am humbled and thankful that what the Word of God, what He says He's going to do, I can't wait to see what He does through my grandkids.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to be, I'm just going to just get up and just dance, because they're going to just run the show, and I'm going to be the old guy sitting on the front row just going, go for it, just go for it.
because they're going to be so blessed. God's going to move so powerful. And they'll get up and they'll say a word where I had to pray for an hour to get a message. God's just going to be popping stuff on them because of the momentum and the overflow and the passion and the anointing and the power of God that they're going to feel resonate through them. And they're going to have to say, you know what? My grandkids are going to say, you know what? Pop, pop. Paid that price.
Awesome. Well, I couldn't agree more. So some of the key words that you should take away. Passion.
Passion.
Honor. Character. Faithfulness. I mean, I look at these men and their sons on this stage, and I'm seeing faithful people. I mean, sometimes it's not so much a practice, a principle you practice, as it's a lifestyle of won't quit that embreds that. And I know there's so many in this room that could have been part of this panel and could have spoken so effectively, and it's just impossible to have that large a conversation. But how many have been blessed by the conversation that we've had today? Amen. So I pray that you take great things away from it. And Pastor Ryan, I'm just wondering if you'll do this as we wrap up and we're about to go to lunch. Would you just encourage us? Just whatever's on your heart, just another word or two about kind of what you've heard talked about, and then pray for us. Would you? And just wrap us up. And once Pastor Ryan finishes, then we'll go have lunch and some wonderful times of fellowship. How many have enjoyed the day today?
Amen.
It's been an awesomely strong day. And thanks for everyone who, you know, it takes to have the kind of moments that we've had this morning, the humor, the devotional moments. It takes a group in one mind, one accord, on the same page that are willing to do that. And so thank you so much for that. And just whatever you think, just tell us what we ought to do and then pray for us.
No pressure there. No pressure. I'll just conclude with this idea that I do believe in a trigenerational blessing, and I do believe that no matter where you are in the stage of ministry, whether you have a son coming up behind you or not, as a leader in the church, that there's some responsibility on our shoulders. And it is an honor to be able to serve the local house and to serve the people in your church. And I just pray that for every single one of us, like we're talking about passion, that we do not lose the passion to serve and to be who we're called to be, whether it's behind closed doors with our families or out front on the stage, but just being people that love God with all of our heart, and no matter where we're at, no matter what stage of life we're in, that we are seeking after God, finding His call, His purpose, His vision for us and our families. So let me pray. God, we thank you so much for the spiritual leaders that you've blessed every single one of us with.
Yes,
God, as we've talked about honor and we've talked about passion, God, no one has ever shown more honor and given more passion than you have when you gave your son for us. And God, we want to just recognize what you've already done for us and the path that you've laid out for every single one of us as ministers, as sons, Lord. And I just pray as we leave here today, as we leave this session, God, that you would just encourage us, that you'd give us strength, that you would challenge us, that you'd inspire us to be exactly who you've called to be. God, you have a specific DNA in every single one of us, and the DNA that you've placed in my dad, who you've called him to be, is not exactly who you've called me to be. And God, I don't believe that you frown upon our differences, but God, you delight in that we are who we are because of you. So I just thank you for sons, I thank you for fathers, and I just pray that you'd continue to bless every single one of us in this room, that you'd bless our churches, and that you just overflow us with vision for our churches. And we just thank you in advance for everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Enjoy your lunch. God bless you.